Well, good morning, everybody. It's really delightful to be here in England. Our family's never been on this side of the Atlantic together before, so it's fascinating to be here. That has been a place that has been the center of history for so many centuries. We're actually seeing places that we've just read about before, and to be among you, a nation that God has used to extend his kingdom around the world. And it's exciting for us to be here and to meet you this morning. This is an exciting passage we're looking at that you're going through, Romans chapter 6 through 8, talking about God's great gift of grace. How wonderful that is. Do you remember when you first experienced the reality of God's grace in your life? What was it about God's grace that was so wonderful when you first experienced it, that you discovered about God's gift to you? We could mention a lot of things. Really, God's grace is very multifaceted. We can think of God's free forgiveness of sin. Doesn't matter the seriousness of the sin or the number of sins, God freely offers forgiveness to all that trust in Christ. Or thinking of hope of eternal life and the promises we have of being in God's presence forever, enjoying his blessings and worshiping him. We could also think of God's grace in giving us his Holy Spirit while we're here on earth to encourage us, give us strength, to guide us in all we do. All these things are gifts of God's grace. And I think for each one of us, we've experienced many other gifts of God's grace that have touched our lives. I first experienced God's grace when I was 21 years old. I grew up in a non-Christian family. My parents were both alcoholics, and they were divorced when I was very young. And I just really, I didn't understand the gospel. I sort of thought that being a Christian was to try to be a good person. But I really felt an emptiness in my life growing up. And I thought that something that would help fill that emptiness would be to set goals and accomplish them. And so I decided to start a military career. I went to a military college for 4 years at West Point in New York, and thinking that that would fill the emptiness that I was sensing in my life. But even when I graduated in 1981, I was 21 years old, I knew this is not going to fill that emptiness. And so about a month later, I started to read the New Testament. And I understood for the first time what it really means to be a Christian. That God really wanted a relationship with me, but there was a barrier, my sin. And so I understood for the first time why Jesus had to die on the cross. I didn't understand that before. I'd heard it before. But I finally understood that there was a price to pay for my sins. And so it was a very easy decision. I knew this is what I'd been looking for all of my life, that to have a relationship with God, and that Jesus had died to offer that to me. And so I was in Boston, Massachusetts, getting ready to study a master's degree there. I understood the gospel just in my apartment where I was living. I recognized my sin, and I trusted in Christ. And that changed my life completely. One of the special gifts of God's grace that I experienced was to discover that God wanted to be the loving father that I never had as I was growing up. And so that was a wonderful thing to experience, and I continue to enjoy that reality every day. And also, another thing I realized is that the purpose that I had been searching for in my life, that God, as my father, had that purpose planned out for me before I even knew him. And that I've also come to realize that apart from God, there really is no purpose in life. And so it was joyful to find that there is purpose as I was able to come to have a relationship, a personal relationship with God. And so that's the power of God's grace in our life. In Romans chapter 6 that was just read, we read about this message of the grace of God. And sometimes, even in Paul's day, there were people that heard this message that we think is great, and they thought, I'm not so sure that this message of the gospel is so great. In fact, I think it might be radical or even dangerous to think that God is willing to forgive all of our sins by our faith in Christ. And we see in Romans 6:1 that Paul is anticipating the objections that people would have to the gospel. And he said, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? If God forgives our sin, maybe we should sin more so that he can forgive us more. And we, just as we read, Paul explained that that is not how grace works. Grace teaches us, first of all, that we are sinners, but that we have a new identity when we trust in Christ, that we identify with him in his death and his resurrection so that we can live a new life of holiness, not taking that as a license to sin, but to become more like Christ. But Paul takes one step further in verse 15, and he not only says that God freely forgives us for all of our sins, but he says, you are no longer under the law of Moses. And that was very shocking for some of the Jewish and religious hearers of that message. And they were very concerned about that. And here he says in verse 15, shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? So what we're going to see in this passage from verse 15 to 23 are three reasons that Paul gives that we should not be concerned. Do you think that it's risky to say that God forgives all sin and that we are no longer under the authority of the law? Does that sound risky to you? Well, that's not risky to God. He doesn't think that's risky because he has a purpose to work in our lives through the grace that he pours into our lives. And Paul gives us three reasons in this passage to know that he says if in the beginning of his book of Romans, he says in chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation of everyone that believes. First the Jew and then the Gentile as well. He's saying it's the power of God for salvation in justification. That's when we trust in Christ that God forgives all of our sins and gives us eternal life. But it's also the power of God for salvation in our sanctification. The power of God that transforms us to live holy lives. And that is what Paul is addressing in these verses of Romans 6 through 8. So let's look at the first reason that Paul gives that why living under God's grace is a better way to lead us to holiness than the law of Moses. Paul says in verse 15, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? So what he's saying here is that when we were slaves to sin, what was the authority in our lives? It was sin, was our master. And often, the sin uses the law and even religious thought to keep us focused on just fulfilling religious rules, an external type of religion. But if we become slaves to God, slaves of obedience to Christ, then we see that we have a new authority. Paul is saying that the authority of the law no longer applies to you. But you now have a new authority, and it's not a list of rules, it's a person. That new authority in our lives as followers of Christ is Jesus himself and his word. So that's the new authority that keeps us from turning God's grace into a license to sin. Because now we're following the authority of Jesus Christ himself. That's the first reason that he gives. In Mexico, when we share the gospel with the Mexicans, they often think that we are encouraging them to change religions, to say that leave your Roman Catholic rules, religious rules, and we will give you a new list of rules for a new religion. But really what we are sharing with them is we're saying, you can be free from religious rules and you can come to know Christ personally and obey him as the authority in your life. That is the message that we share in Mexico. And that's what frees us from going into the license of sin. So I want to ask you, what is the authority in your life as a follower of Christ? Is it religious rules and expectations? Or is it Christ himself and his word that you are obeying as your authority? That's the first reason that he gives why it's not dangerous or risky to say that we are to live under grace and that we're no longer under the authority of the law of Moses, is we have a new authority in Christ himself. The second reason we see in verse 19. He says, I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Paul is saying here that I'm going to talk about slavery to God, even though it's really more like freedom that I'm going to talk about. But since you understand slavery much better, I'm going to use the idea of being a slave to God. So he says, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. So what is he saying here? The second reason that we don't, the gospel of grace and not living under the law leads to holiness is because we can submit our lives and our bodies as slaves to God. And that is going to help us live a life of holiness even better than the law. What does Paul say about the ability of the law to sanctify us? What does he say in chapter 7, the next chapter? In verse 5, he says, for when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at a work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit of death. Paul says that the law, if we are seeking the law as our authority, it actually will arouse sinful desires in us. Perhaps you can see it this way. Have you ever seen a sign that says, don't touch wet paint? And maybe we just have a temptation to see, how wet is the paint? Maybe it's dry already. So sometimes the rules actually provoke us to push the limit and even to sin. And so that's the effect that the law has on us. But if we substitute that authority of the law for the authority of Christ, then he leads us to holiness. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, if there would not have been one of the Ten Commandments to not covet, I would not have known what coveting was. But because I saw the law, it provoked me to covet even more and helped me to understand that I am a sinner and that I need God's forgiveness. But as we trust in Christ, a better authority than the law is Christ himself. And as we submit to his authority, he leads us into holiness. Why is that? Because we're in a personal relationship with that authority. And when we love Christ more, then he allows us to overcome sin in our lives with a better motivation than simply following the rules. And so that's why Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation and for sanctification, to make us holy. Because we come to discover that our love for Christ leads us to live lives of holiness. So I ask you, how are you growing in your love with Jesus, your Savior? Reading his word every day can help us to do that, to fall in love more with him. Spending time in prayer, listening to his voice and what he wants you to do today. Enjoying fellowship with his people is another one of his gifts of grace that he gives to us to grow in holiness. And also sharing the good news with others that don't know him. That's a grace that God gives to us to help us to grow in our holiness. And to finish this morning, I want to see the third reason that Paul gives that he's not ashamed of the gospel, because it transforms our lives live according to righteousness. And in verse 20 to 23, he talks about the fruit that we reap when we obey Christ motivates us more toward holiness than the fruit that we reap when sin is our master. This is what he says in verse 20. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. In other words, you only can have one master at a time. But he says, but what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. So what is the fruit of living as a slave to sin? And this perhaps also can relate to following the law as your authority. What is the fruit of that? Well, one is that, as Paul has already said, it leads us to arouse more sinful desires. Also, we become more aware of the shame of failing to meet the demands of the law. And it says even death, separation from God, from communion with God, is a fruit of being a slave to sin. Does that sound attractive to anybody? That's not a motivation to live in holiness. But what is the fruit of obeying Christ? Verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. So what is the fruit of obeying Christ? He says, we see here that one is the victory in overcoming sin in our life. Another is that we enjoy a life of more sanctification and holiness. And finally, it says eternal life. How does Jesus describe or define eternal life in John 17? Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ who you have sent. So we come to know Christ better when we decide to obey him as our master, that we are a slave of obedience to Christ, result in knowing Christ better. And that's part of the vision of this church, as I've seen here, which is exciting, to know Christ more and to make him known. As we decide to obey Christ, we get to know him better and grow to love him more and overcome sin. And so what Paul is saying here, you need to choose who is your master. We don't always get to choose who is our boss, but here we do. And verse, he's saying in this passage, you can choose either to that sin will be your master or Christ. What is your preference? If you choose sin and Satan to be your master, you're going to have to receive the wages that he pays. And what does verse 23 say? The wages of sin is death, separation from God. Entonces, so if you choose to practice sin, you're saying, I want Satan to be my master, my boss, and I will receive what I deserve from him. And what is he going to give you? Separation from God. But it goes on to say, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if we choose Christ as our new authority in our life, and we submit our lives to him, he doesn't give us what we deserve, fortunately. He gives us gifts of his grace, things, unmerited favor that will cause us to grow and to love him more and to live in holiness. And so I want to challenge you to put this verse 23 into practice. When we've experienced God's grace, God wants us to share what we've received with others. And so if we've received God's forgiveness, how can we share that? We can forgive others. And if we've experienced God's love in our life, we can do what? We can share God's love with others. And if we have received the gospel and understood the message, what can we do? We can share that message with others. And so I want to encourage you to think about this. It says here, the wages of sin is death. So what wages have you received in your life from your sin? When you were apart from God, what was your experience in being separated from God? You can share that with other people to help them to understand that that's what sin causes. It causes a barrier between me and God. And this is the wages I had to pay. And I want to encourage you to think also of what gifts have you received from God, from Jesus, when you trusted in him. It says, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What did you receive as a gift of grace from Jesus when you trusted in him? Share that with somebody this week. Perhaps as you're going home from church this morning, you can share with your family members. This is the wages that I was paid for my sin in experiencing separation from God. And these are the gifts that I received from Jesus when I trusted in him. And then maybe this week you'll have an opportunity to share that with somebody that doesn't know Christ. So I want to just encourage you to share that with somebody. For me, the wages of sin for me, as I was making my plans for my life and trying to accomplish my purposes, was feeling an emptiness in my life and not knowing purpose in my life and feeling very far from God. That was the wages that I was paid for excluding God from my life. But when I trusted in Christ, as I mentioned before, one of the greatest gifts of grace was to realize that God wanted to be a loving father that I never had. And I can enjoy that every day. And I also discovered what comes with knowing Christ in a personal way is that to discover the purpose that he has for our lives and just to thank him for those gifts of grace that he has given to you and has given to me. We can share that with others as a testimony to invite them to make that decision as well. So I just my prayer for all of us here is that God will bless you as you serve Christ as your authority in your life instead of the law, and that God would bless you and that you would enjoy the fruit reaping his blessing as you serve him. May God bless you all.